broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for the 2017 ATD International Conference and Exposition. It's time for Learning Insights, brought to you by Training Pros.
And we are back from ATD 2017. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you, talking to learning professionals from some of the best and brightest. This is going to be no exception, Lee. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Delta Airlines, Mr. Scott Nutter. How are you, man?
Doing fantastic. Doing great.
How's learning going at Delta Airlines?
It's complex and broad and fun and exciting all the time.
Well, my nephew just became a pilot for you guys, and he had to go through a lot of simulations as part of his training. Do you deploy that in other areas, like in accounting or
accounting
sales?
Simulations are very exciting.
What are those like?
It's just numbers after numbers and math equations.
Just throwing math, sometimes with a calculator, sometimes without, right?
Exactly, an abacus, whatever it takes to get them off their game.
I did business with you last night, and I had a marvelous experience. I was up to watch my daughter graduated up in D.C. We all had to get back last night with smooth sailing. So I had a tremendous experience yesterday.
Great to hear.
Now, since you are kind of in the mobility business, how important is mobile learning to you guys?
It's important, and it's getting more important all the time. We have issued now over 40,000 company-issued devices to some of our employee groups.
Wow.
And so obviously that's tailor-made for trying to push training.
And so how did you kind of test this before you deployed it out to that many people?
So the original idea behind flight operations, where I specialize in pilot training, and in-flight services, which is our cabin crew and flight attendants, we actually gave them those mobile devices so that they could get rid of great big stacks of books they used to carry around, mm-hmm. for the pilots, maps and charts. And so the first step was simply just moving into a digital publication space. But now we have a common platform we can build to, which opens up a whole new set of possibilities.
Now, are your people kind of embracing this, or did they come along kicking and screaming?
We have every generation represented at Delta Airlines in our workforces, and let's just say that everyone had to get used to it, but there are some that may be a little bit more on the veteran generation that didn't embrace it as quickly as others. But honestly, they're putting so much new functionality into these tools that people all like it, just like your smartphone.
Now, isn't it something where, like, at first you're like, yeah, I'm not going to learn something new, I don't want to deal with this, but once they start getting into it, they really do embrace kind of the possibilities and all the cool stuff it does?
Absolutely. I would say that our in-flight service team has done a great job. They have an application now. If you see them staring at their phone, they're really not checking their email. They're looking you up as a customer in our database, and they might walk up and say, hey, we understand you like a whiskey sour.
Is cool.
So we're
accurate too, by the way.
Yeah.
You are good.
Well, I got my briefing right before I came in. But yeah, that's the kind of thing we want to do to deliver an even better customer experience, is understand what your preferences are and what your travel patterns are and that kind of thing.
So now, as an organization, how are you kind of defining mobile learning? Is it just kind of an extension of e-learning, or is this separate, totally separate?
Well, mobile is both a modality and it's a design consideration. The company has made a pretty significant investment recently in a new authoring and content management platform, and it's designed for mobile, which simply means it has that responsive design capability built into it, where whatever piece of glass the employee happens to be looking at that training on, it's configured and it's optimal for what they're trying to do. That's new territory for us. We've only been in that space now for about a year.
Now, this mobile first kind of strategy, is that that's a big leap though, right? That's a pretty big commitment.
Well, like I said, the company's ponied up for 40,000 mobile devices that
right.
we own and issue, and more coming.
So now, when you're implementing something like this, this complex, do you test it in one group and then roll it out to other groups? Like, how do you get it system-wide?
Well, it tends to be division by division, where in-flight services, we were very happy to see them go first with what they refer to as their phablet.
Did you volunteer for that? Or you were voluntold?
Well, we volunteered to watch them so we could capture all their lessons learned before we made those mistakes. But we did learn some stuff from them. And so when we rolled out our tablets that we issued to the pilots, there are quite a few things we could apply over there on the flight, you know, the cockpit side.
And then from any feedback from your people that are using it, that you've had to tweak some stuff and, you know, until you get it exactly right?
Well, I would say that since we're still in part of the significant transition, the toughest part has been getting the IT alignment across all the platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty universal challenge for everyone. Our pilots highly value the ability to take their training disconnected from the internet. So the ability to have an offline player where you can sort of do the Netflix trick and download your movie,
right,
watch it when you want
to.
Oh, yeah,
they can binge watch training.
Yeah. I'm not so sure they would sign up for the 3 or 4 season binge watching cycle. But yeah, they do like the ability to do it while they're out there on layover or
right, because there are periods of time where it's kind of dead time.
Well, in all crew members, there's quite a few of them that don't live where they're based, so right, they wind up commuting and just sitting in the back of a jet going to work. They would love to be able to take that training there.
So all these new tools, are they helping you in creating the training as well? Because like when you're gathering subject matter experts, people that are smart about this different stuff, and you need to mine that information, right, and get it from, are you finding that some of these platforms are helping in that regard too, on the whole creation side of things?
Well, we have made some progress in collaboration tools, and those have been invaluable. Keep in mind, again, flight attendants and pilots don't have an office. They right, don't have a cubicle. They're what we refer to as an absentee workforce. And it can be tough sometimes with those subject matter experts to get the markups, the edits, the feedback.
I'll bet.
And some of the collaboration tools we've been using that are new have been fantastic in helping with that. We got pilots that will land over in Amsterdam and go to the hotel and review an e-learning lesson draft that we sent them. And that's been super.
Now, how are you facilitating capturing that information, though, that kind of knowledge base from these veterans?
Do you mean just during the training development cycle or
just
permanent
in general,
knowledge
just as kind of a strategy of your business to capture some of the learning from the people who've been doing the work for so long?
So that is one of the technology pieces. We moved into a learning content management system, and we've put a lot of structure behind that so that as we develop these lessons, as we develop these job aids, things that make people do their jobs better, that we're capturing in a place where it's searchable, sortable, archivable. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a knowledge management system, but it's very similar. And we have, most people don't realize it, but we have a huge retirement curve facing us at Delta. And so we're trying to capture all of that from the workforce that's starting to leave
right,
over the next 8 to 10 years.
You don't want that to walk out the door, right? I mean, no, seriously, there's a lot that could walk, some of the stuff that's not in the books and just,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, those best practices, those things that have been learned by a lifetime of flying around the globe, that stuff is invaluable. And we're getting better at, I never thought as a pilot by training and trade and someone who's in training now that I would ever be talking about curation of content and stuff, but that's the world and it's really important.
And you can't confuse knowledge with wisdom. And there has to be a way to kind of capture some of those.
You must be listening to the talk I give the new hires. But you're absolutely right. And what's interesting now is we're seeing that the folks that come in with a lot of knowledge but maybe not as much wisdom, we have to entertain them a little bit more with some of their content. Older generation would sit in that 9-day indoc class and be happy to watch those slides. That's not the case anymore. So how do you impart that wisdom in a way they're willing to consume?
Right. So now, how are you doing that? How are you getting these subject matter experts to kind of open up and share kind of their stories?
I have found that, at least in our organization, if you have a training bent, there's a reason. There's something in your DNA that you like to be part of the training and education process. Mm-hmm. So I don't find that they're not willing to share. They are. All you got to do is give them the opportunity. And it's frequently done during major training builds, when we have, whether it's an e-learning lesson or a major course redesign. And we will make sure we take that time to capture the stuff that they've accumulated over decades. Another thing we do regularly is our subject matter experts tend to rotate out on a 4 to 5 year cycle. Mm-hmm. And so we're constantly refreshing that group. And so we'll have the last cycle we might do with the old experienced developer working with the young buck, and they'll fly as a team of two there, and we'll do some knowledge transfer while that takes place.
Do you find that the different generations are collaborative, that they work well together?
I'm very lucky. Working in flight ops and with pilots, that's the nature of the job. And we have a tremendous amount of time we spilled around how we want them to work together. So they do tend to do that pretty well. And so does the cabin crew in the back, because it's really a team that's inside that airplane.
Right.
So that's actually not a place I have to spend a lot of time trying to get people to collaborate together.
Now, if you're giving advice to somebody who's kind of taking on mobile learning or embracing it like you guys are there some kind of do's and don'ts?
As a do, get your IT team on the supportive and on your team very early. Let them contribute. What we find in our organization is they don't really want to lead the technology, you know, the bleeding edge technology efforts, but they want to be there at every meeting and listen to how it's going to affect them. And so the sooner you can roll them in and make them partners, the better.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we have an adage at Delta, speed wins. We typically try to implement things rather quickly. At times when you're dealing with technology and how it supports learning, speed can take you off the rails too. So go as fast as the project will allow and no faster.
Now, when you're kind of doing something this big, how does a conference like ATD come into play? How do you leverage this event?
This is phenomenal. I've been an ASTD, an ATD member for 25 years. And this conference, what it does for me is it consolidates a lot of, as you put, a lot of wisdom in one place. So I've got great speakers to go listen to, and I've got vendors out here. My mission, I tend to set a mission for myself every time I come to a conference this big.
You have to use words like mission at Delta, right?
Have to.
It's part of the DNA.
So for me, it's adaptive learning this time. And so I am all about adaptive learning. That's every session I can get in and every vendor I can talk to. See if I can't get a little bit more intelligent about that topic.
Good stuff. Are you speaking at this event, or are you just here kind of wandering the halls?
Not this year. Unable to due to other speaking engagements, but no, I'll be wandering the halls and the sessions.
And are you available if somebody wanted to connect with you on LinkedIn to kind of pick your brain, ask you questions, or maybe collaborate?
Absolutely. I don't think there's more than a couple of Scott Nutters in LinkedIn, so they can find me pretty easy, and I'm certainly the only one.
Well, then you can see if they're really good at learning, if they can figure out which one is you.
And if they're not, LinkedIn Learning has a booth over there, and they're willing to help them figure
yeah.
it out.
All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much for coming by and visiting with us, man. We thoroughly enjoyed it, and don't be a stranger.
Absolutely not. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. We'll be back in a few from ATD 2017.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.